بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our eighth session reading from Let's Begin to Read Arabic by Dr. Fa Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute program. Today, inshallah, it is our intention, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to take the next two lessons, that is lesson number 14 on page 29, 30 and 31, and lesson number 15 on page 32, hopefully that will suffice us for today. Before we begin with the new lessons for today, I would like to open up the book to the previous lessons that we took last week, the last two lessons that we took. Lesson number 12 on page 25 and lesson number 13 on page 27. Just a quick review. Before we read the exercises from this lesson, I just want to remind us that from amongst the things that we've covered so far in this course, including any seven of the consonants of 28 consonants, any one-fourth of the letters, the consonants of the alphabet, we've also explained and had exercises dealing with all of the short vowels, fatha, kasra, and dhamma, and the long vowels that correspond with them. In the last two lessons, we completed the long vowels. So, the vowels we have completed, we also completed tanween, sukoon, and shadda. So today, inshallah, before we go on to the next lesson, which deals with the letter Hamza. And Hamza has a lot of rules related to it. We're going to take each one of those rules separately. Whose pen is this?
Mine.
Yours? Okay, take your pen back. Just in case somebody forgets it, huh? Well, if somebody comes in, hopefully they have a pencil or a pen. What you can do, though, you can keep this. So if somebody comes in, if you notice somebody coming in, you can just pass that to them. Yeah, so what I want to do is I want to remind us concerning the last two lessons that we took were related to long vowels. The long vowel, when waw is used as a long vowel, when ya is used as a long vowel, and when waw is used as a long vowel. And previous to that, we had aleph being used as a long vowel. Okay, so what I want to say about the long vowels is that the letter aleph and the letter ya and the letter waw are considered to be long vowels with two conditions. Two conditions. Okay? Does anybody know what those two conditions are? When is waw, aleph, and ya to be considered as a long vowel? Now.
No.
They are used with Hamza, that's true. But it's not considered a long vowel. When Hamza sits on them, it's not considered a long vowel. There are two conditions. The first condition, we should say, is that the aleph, waw or ya, if it is preceded by the appropriate vowel, if aleph is preceded by fatha, if ya is preceded by kasra, if waw is preceded by dhamma, it has to be preceded by the specific vowel that goes with it. That's the first condition. The second condition is that those letters, particularly waw and ya, should not have a vowel of its own. Because waw and ya are also used as consonants. So if waw or ya is preceded by dhamma or kasra, that's the first condition. It has to be preceded by the appropriate vowel. If it's preceded by the appropriate vowel, but it has a vowel of its own, it will not be considered a long vowel. Okay, let's try that. Let me write. I don't want to write on the board because some people are online and they can't see what we're writing on the board. But in any case, Yani, whatever fatha is followed by alif, we said then it became a long vowel. If kasra is followed by ya, or if dhamma is followed by waw, okay, that's when it's used as a long vowel. But the condition is alif must be preceded by fatha, and alif must not have a vowel of its own. Okay, kasra. Ya has to be preceded by kasra. That's the first condition. And second condition, ya should not have a vowel of its own. And the same thing for waw, if it's preceded by dhamma, but dhamma must not have a vowel of its own. Okay, in that case, with those two things, the letter alif or ya or waw is preceded by the appropriate vowel, fatha, kasra, or dhamma. And secondly, especially, particularly, the ya and the waw must not have a vowel of its own. Because waw and ya are also used sometimes as a consonant. So even if ya was preceded by kasra, but it has a vowel, whether it's kasra, dhamma, or fatha, it has a vowel, then it's not going to be elongating the kasra sound. Because in this case, it's going to be used as a consonant, if it has a vowel. And the same thing with waw, even if it's preceded by dhamma, but if it has a vowel of its own, if it has, for example, a dhamma, or a fatha, or a kasra, then in that case, it would not be considered as a long vowel elongating dhamma, it would be considered as a consonant of its own. Okay? The difference here is with the letter aleph, because aleph is not a consonant. Okay? I said that in the opening class, in the introduction to this course, aleph is not a consonant. It never takes a vowel of its own. Okay, it can only elongate fatha, aleph. It can only be an elongation of fatha or a seat for hamza. In either case, it's not considered as a consonant. Aleph is never considered as a consonant. It's either the elongation of fatha as a long vowel or a seat for hamza. We're going to talk about that today. It is not considered a consonant. A consonant is a letter that can take a vowel. Aleph cannot take a vowel. It can never take a vowel. It can only elongate the fatha vowel. It doesn't take a vowel of its own. It can be a seat for hamza. In that case, hamza is the consonant, not aleph. Yani when hamza is written on aleph, or waw, or ya, the aleph, the waw, and the ya is not considered here. The hamza is the consonant. Hamza has its own vowel, fatha, kasra, or dhamma. Or it may have sukoon. Alaykum salam. Okay, we're going to go into the situation of hamza later, but the only point that I'm trying to make right now is that for the elongation of the three short vowels, yani, there are two conditions. That it has to be matched, yani, fatha with aleph, kasra with ya, and dhamma with waw. Has to have the appropriate vowel, short vowel preceding it. And the second thing, that the letter that's used for elongation, aleph, waw, ya, must not have a vowel of its own. It must not have a vowel of its own. Because if waw has a vowel, then here it's not considered as a long vowel. It's considered as a consonant with a vowel of its own. And we're going to see waw as a consonant later on. We're going to see ya as a consonant in a lesson by itself later on. We didn't come to that yet. We've only seen them now as used as a long vowel, elongating the short vowel. But later on we will see when it's used as a consonant, in that case it will be more clear to you, it will become more clear to you, yani, how to distinguish when it's used as a long vowel, and how to distinguish it when it's used as a consonant. Walaykum salam. I didn't hear what you said. Speak a little bit louder.
Aleph.
Uh-huh. Aleph will never be considered as a consonant. Aleph is not a consonant. Aleph, listen. Aleph is a letter of the alphabet. It is not a consonant. Consonant means a letter that takes a vowel. Aleph never takes a vowel. It never takes a vowel. Okay? It can only elongate fatha. Or it can be a seat for hamza. Listen, if the aleph, or waw, or ya, is a seat for hamza, in that case, we don't count aleph. We don't count. It's just a seat. It's like you right now, Mustafa, you're sitting on that chair. We're not concerned about the chair. We are addressing you as a person. You are the important matter, not the chair that you're sitting on. The chair is not important. What's important is you, the person who's sitting on the chair. We're not concerned about Aleph, Waw, or Ya when it's a seat for Hamza. The Aleph, it's as though it's not there. Just act like it's not even there. It doesn't count. It doesn't change any meaning. It doesn't give you any sound. It doesn't do anything. It's just a seat. Just like this seat right here, doesn't do anything. No matter who's sitting on it, it doesn't change. It remains what it is. Okay, it doesn't change. It doesn't matter. Okay, now.
So in other words, what you're saying is, when we can take T2, you can't do to Aleph.
You can't do that Aleph. It never takes a vowel. Okay. It will never take its own vowel. Okay, and in any case, look. We're going to see Aleph, we're going to see Hamza today written on Aleph. Okay, let's look at it and then we'll see the exercise. Okay, what I hoped to explain here today is just to review for us actually what we took in the previous lesson. And how Ya is used as an elongation of the short vowel Kisra. And how Waw is used as elongation of the short vowel Dhamma. That's basically it. Okay, if Ya is followed, is preceded by Kesra, then it elongates the Kesra. With the condition that it cannot have a vowel of its own. It must not have a vowel of its own. If it has a vowel of its own, then that Ya is going to be a consonant. We're going to have a lesson on that later on. Okay, and the same thing for Waw. It could be used as a consonant sometime. We're going to have a lesson separately on that later on. A whole lesson just dealing with Ya as a consonant, and a whole lesson just dealing with Waw as a consonant. For today, all I want you to do is remember what we took in the previous week, two lessons dealing with Ya, elongating Kesra, and Waw, elongating Dhamma, with the condition that the Ya or the Waw must not have a vowel of its own. That's it. It must not have a vowel of its own. Alright? Let's read the lesson and then see if there's any difficulty in reading it. If there's no difficulty in reading it, then khalas, we're good. If we can recognize what we're seeing in front of us, then there's no problem, inshallah. And inshallah, today in the lesson of Hamza, we'll have a little bit more idea of what we're talking about when Hamza has an Aleph or Waw or Ya as a seat. Okay, we're going to see Hamza, a lesson with Hamza, with Aleph as its seat, and later on, we're going to see Waw as a seat, and in another lesson, we're going to see Ya as a seat. We're going to see each one of them separately, okay? But for now, today, we're just going to take Aleph as a seat for Hamza, and then the next lesson following is also related to the same thing, little modification of that particular point. Okay, let's go back again and review the lesson that we took last week, lesson number 12 on page 25. This lesson deals with the letter Ya, when it is used to elongate the short vowel Kesra. Okay, so the sound of Mim with Kesra is Mi. The sound of Mim with Kesra followed by Ya with Sukun. It doesn't have a vowel. Okay, we don't see Sukun written there, but it's understood. If there's no vowel written there, that means it has Sukun. Okay, so the Ya has Sukun in this case. It's preceded by Kesra. We say Mi. Okay, short vowel Kesra, Mi. Long vowel elongated by Ya, Mi. Okay, that's the lesson number 12. That's basically what it deals with. The sound of the long vowel Kesra, it sounds like the double E in the word B. Yani a B that stings. It sounds like the double E in the word C. Yani to see something. It sounds like the double E in the name Lee, L-E-E. That's the sound of the Kesra when it's elongated by Ya. E. Just like that, okay? Okay, let's read page 25, line 1. Lam Kesra Ya with Sukun. Ya has Sukun. Why do we say has Sukun? Because there's no vowel written there. There's no Fatha, there's no Kesra, there's no Dhamma. That means it's Sukun. Sukun just means, Walaikum Salaam. Sukun merely means that a letter does not have a vowel sound. So if you don't see the sukun, but you don't see any vowel, then that means that it doesn't have a vowel sound. Alright? Okay, first word, line 1. Let's read it. Lam Kesra Ya. Second word, Ba Kesra Ya. Nam. Third word, Mim Fatta elongated by Aleph. Lam Kesra elongated by Ya. Mali. Naam. Two elongations. Mali. Line 1. Last word. Kaf Dhamma. Lam Kesra Ya. Short vowel, long vowel. Holy, holy. Huh? Two syllables, short syllable, long syllable. Holy, okay? First line, let's read it together. First word. Li. Second word.
Bi.
Third word.
Mali.
Mali. Last word.
Kuli.
Okay. Second line, first word. Short vowel, long vowel, long vowel. Three syllables. Short, long, long. Second line, first word. Read it.
Kitabi.
Kitabi. Second word.
Kalami.
Kalami. Third word. Okay. Yeah, I need three syllables, right? The first one is the short vowel. Second one is a long vowel. Third one has tanween. Read it again. Third word. Line two. Nam. Ma-ki-lun. Ma-ki-lun. Last word. Line two.
Ta-ki-lun.
No tanween there. That's a single vowel. No tanween. Read it again. Last word. Line two.
Ta-ki-lu.
Nam. Third line. Page 25. Lesson 12. Third line. First word has a short vowel, a long vowel, and a short vowel. Three syllables. Short, long, short. First word.
Talinu.
Good. Talinu. Second word.
Talinu.
First letter has dhamma. Nam. To me, to. To me, to. To me, to. Third word. Line three.
Talinu.
Tabi, to. Last word, line three.
Tuhinu.
Okay, turn to page 26, line four. Page 26, line four. Pay attention to the words that have tanween. Pay attention to the letters that have tanween. Pay attention to the difference between short vowels and long vowels. If you see kesra followed by ya and the ya has no vowel, that means it's elongating it. Make it long. Distinguish between short vowels and long vowels. Okay, again, we're going back to page 26, line 4, first word.
Muhinun.
Muhinun. Second word.
Tubinu.
Tubinu. Third word.
Lima.
Lima. Last word.
Babu.
The first letter has dhamma. Mubinun, huh? Mubinun. Okay, line 5, first word, short vowel, long vowel, tanween. Short vowel, long vowel, tanween. Line 5, first word.
Kalimun.
Kalimun. Second word.
Mahibun.
Mahibun. Third word.
Munibun.
Munibun. Last word.
Lahibun.
Okay, line 6. First word has short vowel, long vowel, tanween. Line 6, first word.
Nabilun.
Nabilun. Second word.
Nabihun.
Nabihun. Third word.
Banihi.
Banihi. Now, short vowel, long vowel, short vowel. Three syllables. Short, long, short. Ba, ni, hi. Okay, line 6, last word.
Nab-ni.
Good. Nab, ni. Two syllables because there's a sukun there. So the ba, the second letter ba, doesn't have a vowel, has sukun. Join it to the first letter, noon with fatah, nab. And then the second syllable is noon, kasra, elongated by ya. Knee, nabni, nabni. Okay, any question about the long vowel? Any kesra elongated by ya? Any question? Okay, let's review the next lesson 13 that we took last week. Lesson 13, page 27 and page 28. The same thing as the last lesson, we have yani a short vowel being elongated by a long vowel, and a letter that elongates that short vowel. Okay, so dhamma is only elongated by the letter waw, just as kesra is only elongated by the letter ya. Okay, just as fatha is only elongated by what letter?
Aleph.
Aleph. Aleph. Naam. You have to associate these three short vowels with the letter that elongates them. Okay? The condition is the Dhamma must be followed by Wow, and Wow must not have a vowel of its own. Kesra must be followed by Ya, and Ya must not have a vowel of its own. It must not have a vowel of its own. It has to have Sukoon. Okay, even if the Sukoon is not written there, as long as though there's no vowel written, no Kesra, no Fatha, no Dhamma, that means it has Sukoon. Alright? Okay, this is the lesson 13 review of the elongation of Dhamma sound by the letter Wow when Wow does not have a vowel of its own. Line 1, short vowel, long vowel, Tanween. First word. Mulukun. Second word. Malumun. Third word. Is there a Tanween there? Okay. I thought I heard Tanween somewhere. Na-lu-mu. Na-lu-mu. Last word, line 1. Batulun. Batulun. Okay, line 2. First word, short vowel, long vowel, short vowel. Three syllables. Short, long, and then short again. First word, line 2. Banuka. Second word. Malulun. Third word. Namutu. Line 3. Page 27, lesson 13, line 3. First word has short vowel, long vowel, short vowel. Three syllables. Short, long, and short. First word, line 3. Tamutu. Second word. Kuni. Two long vowels. Kuni. Third word. Last word. Kuluhu. Short, long, short. Kuluhu. Kuluhu. Now, page 28, line 4. Short vowel, long vowel, Tanween. Short vowel, long vowel, Tanween. Line 4. First word. Humumun. Second word, short vowel, long vowel, Tanween. Second word. Kulumun. Last word on line 4, short vowel, long vowel, short vowel, no Tanween. Short, long, short. Nam. Tabuku. Tabuku. Okay, any question about these two lessons, both of them dealing with short vowels? Short vowels being elongated. We said the rule is what? That the short vowel must be followed by the appropriate letter that elongates it. Okay? Ya, Kesra has to be followed by Ya. Dhamma has to be followed by Wow. And that letter, the Ya, or the Wow that's elongating the short vowel, that letter must not have a vowel of its own. As we will see later on, the Wow, when it has a vowel of its own, is considered a consonant, not an elongation of Dhamma. Ya, when it has a vowel of its own, a Kesra, a Fatha, a Dhamma, it's considered as a consonant, not as elongation of the short vowel Kesra. Okay, this is very important. If you understand this, then alhamdulillah, with these two lessons that we completed last week, we have completed the vowel system in Arabic. Short vowels, long vowels. What remains are two lessons that deal with a combination of two different vowels. Combination of two different vowels. We'll take them later on. Yani, when Fatha is not followed by Aleph, but is followed by Ya, that's two different vowel sounds. The sound of A and the sound of E. That's a diphthong, yani, a combination of two different vowel sounds. We'll also see later on Fatha when it's followed by Wow. Two different vowel sounds. Okay, that's a diphthong. That's what remains. Otherwise, the short vowels are three, the elongations are three, and we have finished from them. Alright? Okay, today, inshallah, we're going to take a new consonant. It's called the letter Hamza. It's called the letter Hamza. This letter Hamza is a consonant of the Arabic language. It's a consonant. In the same way that meme is a consonant, noon is a consonant, lam is a consonant. Meaning, it's a letter of the alphabet that can take a vowel of its own. It can take a vowel of its own. So you may see the Hamza written with Fatha, the sound will be A. You will see it written with Kasra, the sound will be E. In the same way, if you see Ba written with Kasra, you say B. With Hamza, its sound is going to be the sound of its vowel. Yani, Meem with Kasra, you say Me. Lam with Kasra, you say Li. Hamza with Kasra, you just say E. Yani, it doesn't have a particular independent sound like Ba, Lam, Noon, but rather it takes the vowel of its, it takes the sound of its vowel. Technically, Hamza is a glottal stop. It's a glottal stop. It means that you close the throat, and then release the air with whatever vowel you want to pronounce with it. If it has no vowel, it's possible. The same way Meem sometimes doesn't have a vowel. Lam sometimes doesn't have a vowel. Noon sometimes doesn't have a vowel. It's possible that Hamza doesn't have a vowel. In that case, when you see Hamza come in a word, and it doesn't have a vowel, that means that you're going to stop. You're going to close the throat, and then yani, pronounce what comes, the next letter that comes after it. It's going to be just a stop. Okay? For example, in the word for head in Arabic, the word for head is written with Ra, Fatha, Hamza with Sukoon. Yani, the word Ra, Ras, is written like this. Ra with Fatha, Hamza with Sukoon. Okay? So, how do you pronounce this? Here, it doesn't have a vowel. If it had a vowel, you would say Ra-A. If it had Kesra, you say Ra-E. If it had Dhamma, you say Ra-U. But it doesn't have a vowel, so what? It's just a stop. So you don't say Ra-Sun, but you say Ra-Sun, stop. It's a break. Ra-Sun. You have to break the sound of the word, okay? Because it's a glottal stop. If it has a vowel, you're going to pronounce the sound of its vowel, but with a stop, though. If it had a fatha, you say Ra-Asun, Ra-Isun, Ra-Usun. But there's a break. Because why? Because in order to pronounce Hamza, you have to actually close the throat and then release the air with whatever sound, yani is whatever vowel is written with that Hamza. If it has no vowel, it's just a stop, a break, and then the next letter you pronounce. Okay? We're going to see Hamza written with different types of seats, with each of the different vowels, with sukoon, with no vowel. We're going to see it in all different kind of cases. But not in one lesson. Every one of these points are going to be dealt with in a separate lesson. Okay, Hamza is a letter of the alphabet that can take a vowel of its own, therefore it's considered to be a consonant, just like Lam, just like Meem, just like Noon. The only difference between Hamza and other letters, since it is very small, they usually write it with a seat. It sits on a seat, and it sits on another letter, either Aleph, Waw, or Ya. It may sit on any one of these three letters that are used for long vowels. Aleph, Waw, or Ya. The same letters that we just said are used for long vowels, sometimes they use as a seat for Hamza. In that case, if any one of these letters is used as a seat for Hamza, then that letter itself doesn't count. We're just going to pronounce the Hamza with Sukoon, or Hamza with Fatha, or Kasra, or Dhamma. We're not going to count that letter. So when Hamza is written on top of Wow, when Hamza is written on top of Ya, or when Hamza is written on top of Aleph, the Hamza is going to be pronounced like the sound of its vowel. It's going to be pronounced like the sound of its vowel. I'll write this under here for Kasra. Alright? So if Hamza has a Dhamma and it's written on Wow, you say U. If Hamza, I'll make them the same. If Hamza has a Dhamma and it's written on Aleph, it's still pronounced U. If Hamza has a, and it's written on Ya and it has a Dhamma vowel, in every case, it doesn't matter what's the seat for Hamza, what counts is the vowel. We're not going to pronounce this Wow that's the seat for Hamza. We're not going to pronounce the Aleph that's a seat for Hamza. We're not going to pronounce the Ya. Rather, we're going to pronounce the Hamza and whatever vowel it has. So Hamza, written with Dhamma, on top of Waw, on top of Aleph, on top of Ya, is pronounced the same way. Ooh. Okay, the seat does not count. The seat does not count. What counts is the Hamza. That's the letter and its vowel. Alright, so today inshallah we're going to see Hamza written with Aleph. In future lessons we're going to see Hamza written on top of Wow, and we're going to see Hamza written on top of Ya. And in every case, we're not going to count the seat. We're just going to pronounce the Hamza as a glottal stop with whatever vowel is written with. Actually, in some words, we're going to see a lesson later on, Hamza without any seat at all. Just not without a seat. It's just going to be written by itself. And still, the way we pronounce Hamza is going to be the same in every case. Doesn't matter if Aleph is the seat, Wow is the seat, or Ya is the seat, or has no seat. Hamza is always going to be pronounced like the sound of its vowel. If it has no vowel, it's just going to be a stop, a break in the word. Okay, so we're going to have 4 or 5 lessons dealing with Hamza. Each one of them is going to deal with different cases of Hamza. When it's written by itself, or when it's written on Aleph or Wow or Ya, when it has a vowel and when it has no vowel. Okay, any questions so far about Hamza? Naam.
If it's sitting on a consonant.
If it's sitting on Aleph, Wow, or Ya.
Aleph, Wow, Ya.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have a vowel.
And it doesn't have a vowel, it's a stop.
But you don't.
If it doesn't have a vowel, it's just a stop. We never use the seat. Forget about the seat. The seat is just there for the Hamza to rest on. We're never going to pronounce the seat. We're only going to pronounce the Hamza and its vowel. If it has no vowel, it's just going to be a stop. We're going to see. We're going to have a lesson on that, inshallah. But for now, the most important thing I want you to understand, Hamza is a consonant of the Arabic language. It takes a vowel of its own, or it may have sukoon. It is usually written on a seat. In this lesson, it's written on Aleph. The seat doesn't count. The seat doesn't count. It doesn't change the meaning, it doesn't change the sound. Okay, just act like the seat is not there. Pronounce the Hamza and the sound of its vowel. Now. It's usually sitting on one of these three letters.
What?
Aleph, Wow, or Ya.
By
and sometimes it will be written without a seat, yes. We're going to have a lesson on Hamza when it's written without a seat. Okay, that's why I said there's about 5 lessons on Hamza. One lesson that we're taking today written on Aleph. Another lesson written on Wow. Another lesson written on Ya. Another lesson when it's written without any seat. And another lesson when Hamza doesn't have a vowel at all. How is it pronounced? As just a stop. Every one of those points are going to be dealt with in a separate lesson. Okay, today, mashallah, yani, we're going to take the first lesson with Hamza. It's written on Aleph. Forget about the Aleph. Just pronounce the Hamza and whatever vowel is written with it. That's it. Okay? Second thing I want to say about Hamza is the articulation point. The articulation point of Hamza is from the bottom of the throat. Okay, there are 3 articulation points for the throat. 3 articulation points. The bottom of the throat, the middle of the throat, and the highest part of the throat closest to the mouth. Hamza is written from the lowest articulation point of the throat. Hamza and Ha, the letter Ha, as in Huwa. They are written from the same, they are pronounced from the same articulation point, the bottom of the throat. Hamza and Ha. On top of them is Ayn and Ha. And at the top of the throat is Ghain and Kha. These are 3 articulation points. What we are concerned about today, articulation point of Hamza is the bottom of the throat. Okay, it's pronounced from the bottom of the throat. The same place as the letter that we had previously, the letter Ha. Hamza, that's its articulation point. As far as its sound, I already said the sound of the Hamza is the sound of its vowel. Whatever vowel it has, that's how we're going to pronounce it. If it has no vowel, we're going to just make a stop. Because Hamza is a glottal stop. You have to stop. You close the throat and then release the air. If it has no vowel, it's just a stop. Close the throat and then you pronounce the next letter that follows it. Naam. Huh? The Hamza where?
Would you pronounce the Hamza for us as an example?
Yes, we're going to do it right now, inshallah. We're going to pronounce Hamza, yani, with different vowels. Okay, we're going to pronounce Hamza with different vowels. In this particular lesson, we're going to see Hamza with different vowels. The sound of the Hamza is the sound of his vowel. If Hamza has a fetha, you pronounce it A. A. If it has a kasra, you pronounce it E. If it has dhamma, you pronounce it O. That's it. If it has no vowel, it's just a stop. Let's look at the lesson, and then inshallah we'll see that, yani, it's not quite that much. It's quite easy. It's relatively simple. Okay, so we are right now going to take the first lesson for dealing with Hamza. That is lesson number 14 on page 29 and continues on page 30 and the top of page 31. Starting on page 29. Okay, at the top of the page it says lesson 14. This is called Hamza. Phonetically, it is a glottal stop. It's a stop, yani stopping the air passage from the throat, closing it and then releasing it. As it is very small, it is placed above or below the aleph in this lesson, with aleph, above or below the aleph, or above the wow or the ya. We will see it in other lessons to come, or independently, as you will observe in later lessons. Independently means what? Doesn't have a seat. It's not written with aleph, wow, or ya. Okay? So they're telling us here that aleph is sometimes written, hamza is sometimes written with aleph. Later on we will see it written with wow. Also we will see it written with ya. And we will see it written independently, meaning with no seat. With no seat. Okay? The first lesson for today is just when hamza is written with aleph. It could be written above or below the aleph. Generally speaking, it's going to be written above the aleph. Okay? Depending on its vowel, being fatha or kasra or dhamma, sometimes if the vowel is kasra, the hamza may be written underneath the aleph. Because kasra is normally written underneath the letter, right? So sometimes they will write the hamza underneath the aleph, because the vowel is going to be kesra. But sometimes they only write it on top of the aleph. Sometimes, even if it's kesra, what they do is write the kesra underneath the hamza. Yani on top of the aleph, but underneath the hamza. So this is what it could look like sometimes. Yani that the hamza is written on top for fatha, or it's written on top for dhamma, and it may be written underneath for kesra. But alternatively, it could be written on top even for kesra. But what happens is what? The kasra is written underneath the hamza. Because why? Kasra is always written underneath its letter. And hamza is a consonant. So even though it's above the seat, the aleph, it's written underneath the hamza, that means it's kasra. Okay? Even though it's written on top of the aleph, but that doesn't count because the aleph is only a seat. The letter that we're concerned with here is hamza. So if the kasra is written underneath the hamza, even though it's above the aleph, it doesn't matter. Okay? Because what we're concerned about here is the hamza, not the seat. Not the seat, okay? Don't worry about the seat. Worry about hamza. That's our letter that we're going to be looking at. Okay? If the line is written above the hamza, that's fatha. If it's written below the hamza, that's kasra. Even if it's above the aleph. Doesn't matter. Okay? Because aleph is only a seat. Yani, with the letter hamza, don't worry about its seat. That's my rule for you. That will make it very simple for you. Forget about its seat. The seat is only a writing convention. Okay, the Arabs, they use the hamza with a seat most of the time. And they have rules for when they use aleph, wow, or ya as a seat. We're not concerned about that. What we're concerned about is how to pronounce the hamza. And how we pronounce it has nothing to do with the seat. The seat doesn't matter. You're going to pronounce it one way with fatha all the time, ah. Doesn't matter what its seat is. With kasra, it's always going to be pronounced e. Doesn't matter what the seat is. With dhamma, it's always going to be pronounced u, no matter what the seat is. Doesn't matter. The seat doesn't matter. It doesn't count. Forget about it. You can put it in the trash if you don't mind sitting on the floor. You don't want to sit on the floor, so you need a seat. I need a seat also, don't feel bad. Me and you both need a seat. So we're going to pay attention to our seat, but it doesn't really count, right? What really counts is me and you. We're important, the seat is not important today. Alright, let's read, inshallah. Let's read. This is what we want to say about Hamza. There's a lot to say about it, and we will see it again and again and again in different cases. Today, inshallah, we just want to read Hamza. How do we read the letter Hamza when it is written with Aleph as a seat? When it's written with aleph as a seat. Okay, and again, the hamza, written with aleph, it could have a fatha vowel, it could have a kasra vowel, it could have a dhamma vowel. Okay? The fact that the seat is Aleph doesn't really matter. What matters is what vowel is written with it. Okay? Okay, so let's look at the top of the page, and we see at the top of the page, before line 1, from the right side, we see Hamza written on Aleph with Fatha. It's pronounced Ah. Then we see Hamza written underneath an Aleph with Kasra. The sound of it should be E. And then we see Hamza written on top of Aleph with Dhamma, and its sound should be O. Okay? Line 1, Hamza, Fatha, Mim with Sukoon. First word.
Am.
M. Don't say Am, because Am is Ah. This is not Ah. This is Ah. Okay? The letter Ayn changes the sound of Fatha to Ah. But the normal sound of Fatha is Ah. That's what we should be pronouncing here. Ah. Not Ah. Ah is with Ayn. Ah. Okay? Like Alameen. Alameen. Huh? Rabbil Alameen. That's Ayn. But this is Hamza. Ah. Ah. Okay? The difference between Hamza and Ayn, yani the sound of it, and they're close, because their makhraj is almost from the same place. They're both from the throat. Hamza is from the lowest part of the throat. Ayn is just above it. So they're almost from the same place. But if you pronounce Hamza for Ayn or Ayn for Hamza, then you make a new word and a different meaning. Okay? So be careful that you don't pronounce Alim for Alim. Alim means all-knowing. Alim means painful. Okay, so Allah is El Alim, not El Alim. The difference between the sound Ah and Ah changed the meaning completely. Be careful, especially in reading Quran. Okay, let's go back again. First word, line 1, Hamza, Fatha, Mim with Sukoon. Am, Am, Am. Second word, Hamza, Fatha, Noon with Sukoon. An. Third word, Hamza, Kasra, Noon with Sukoon. In. Fourth word has the Shadda on the Noon. Pay attention, Shadda means what? It has to be doubled. It means the first Noon has Sukoon, you connect it to the letter before, and the second Noon has the vowel Fatha. Okay, we're on line 1. Fourth word, Hamza with Fatha, Noon with Shadda. Naam, pronounce it. Right. It's two syllables, right? But we're going to hold them together, okay? It's N, huh? And then Na, right? But we're not going to pronounce them separately. We're going to pronounce them as one word. N, N. Okay, hold it, because Shadda means the letter is doubled, so you have to hold it. N, N. This is the particle that's used in the Shahada when you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna, with a short vowel, anna Muhammad ar-Rasulullah. Some people elongate it because of the Shadda and they say anna. And anna means I bear witness that I am the Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. That's a mistake. Anna. It's anna. Short. Okay? Be careful. Anna. If you're calling the adhan and you say anna, then you are twisting the meaning of the words of the shahada. Naam. Five. The last word on line 1 is Hamza with Kasra, Noon with Shadda. Inna. Inna. Okay, let's read this line together. First word. Am. Second word. An. Third word. In. Fourth word. Anna. Last word. Inna. Inna. Naam. Line 2. Hamza with Kasra, Mim with Shadda. Double Mim followed by Fatha elongated by Aleph. Okay? Two syllables. Read it. Naam. Im. Okay, Hamza with Kasra followed by Mim with Shadda. That means Mim with Sukoon. Im. And then the second Mim has Fatha elongated by Aleph. Ma. So you have two syllables. Im. Ma. But hold it together. Don't separate them. Imma. Okay, the next word, line 2, second word, is almost the same, but instead of the beginning with Hamza with Kasr, it has Hamza with Fatha. Second word.
Amma.
Amma. Third word. Abun. Two syllables. Abun. 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 Yani is a common word that we hear all the time, but we usually hear it as Abu.
No.
Yani the form of this word changes a little bit. Yani when it is connected in a certain way in Arabic language, I'm not going to explain it now. A little bit advanced for this class. But in any case, the word Abu, as in Abu Muhammad, for example, Abu is the word Ab. Huh? Abu is the word Ab. Its origin, the original form of this word is Abun. Abun means a father. El Abu, the father. El Abu. Abun means a father. Yani huwa Abun. He is a father. Wa huwa Abun kadhalik. We need a couple of young brothers, two young brothers, to give Hanif a lift upstairs. Naam. Jazakum Allahu khairan. You're not a young brother? Leave that alone then, man. Leave that for the young folks. May I hurt your back or something, man? I ain't messing with that. Naam. Line 2. Line 2. Third word, we said, what's this word again? Third word, line 2. Abun, Abun, Abun. Line 2, fourth word, 3 syllables. All of them have short vowels. Akala. 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 Akala, by the way, means what? To eat. Naam. Means he ate. Akala. Naam.
He ate.
Naam. How do we say she ate? Just akala, just put ta on the end with sukun. Akalat. Jalasa, jalasat. Dakhala, dakhalat. Yani he and she, the difference is ta with sukun on the end. Okay, akala means he ate. Akalat means she ate. Okay, line 2, last word. Pay attention, there's a sukun on the third letter. There's a sukun, that means that lamb is joined as one syllable with the kaf and fatha before it. Okay? Short vowel, followed by sukun. And then another short vowel. Okay, let's read it. Naam. Akaltu. Akaltu. A-kel. That's one syllable, kel. A-kel-tu. Akaltu. Akaltu means I ate. Okay, let's read this line together. Line 2. Line 2, page 29, lesson 14. First word.
Imma.
Imma. Second word.
Imma.
Third word.
Abun.
Abun. Fourth word.
Akala.
Akala. Last word.
Akaltu.
Akaltu. Five. Let's look at line 3, page 29, lesson 14, line 3. First word has a short vowel, a long vowel, and a tanween. 3 syllables. Short, long, tanween. First word.
Aminun.
Aminun. Amin is one of the titles of the Prophet, El Amin. He was known as El Amin, which means what? The trustworthy. El Amin. Naam. Aminun. Second word, short vowel, long vowel, tanween. Short vowel, long vowel, tanween. Second word, read it.
Amanun.
Amanun. Amanun. Third word, note the third word, the first letter, Hamza with Fatha, is followed by a letter with Sukun. That means you're going to join the Kaf with Sukun to the Hamza with Fatha. That's going to be one syllable. And then ta with dhamma is the second syllable. And then ba with dhamma is the third syllable. 3 syllables. Alright, let's read the third word, line 3. Aktubu. 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 Aktubu is from kataba, to write. Aktubu. Present tense verb. Aktubu. Naam. Aktubu. Okay, line 3, fourth word. Last word in the end of the line. Short, short vowel, long vowel, short vowel. Three syllables, short, long, short. Nam. Akunu. Akunu. Okay, let's read it together. Line three, first word. Aminun. Second word. Amanun. Third word. Aktubu. Last word. Akunu. Okay, turn the page. Page 30. More lines with Hamza. More lines with Hamza, right? Hamza, we got a lot of examples, right? A lot of practice with Hamza. Okay, we are on page 30, top of page 30. Line 4. Short vowel, long vowel, short vowel. First word. Amutu. Second word. Short vowel, long vowel, short vowel. Analu. Okay, we're in lesson 14, page 30, line 4. Line 4. Third word. Third word.
Abana.
Abana. Last word. Line 4. Last word. Short vowel. Long vowel. Short vowel. Short, long, short. Last word. Uhinu. 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 Line 5. Line 5. First word. After that, then, inshallah.
You got two dots that's going on the first word, and then two dots in the next page. That is that a mistake again?
No, I don't know. Say that again.
There's two dots on the first word, I mean, on page 29.
Page 29.
All the way down.
Okay, line 3. Which word? First, second, third, or fourth?
The third word.
The third word. Has two dots?
Yes. Two dots.
Those two dots are the letter Ta. Ta. Naam. Ta has two dots. Remember we said the letter Ba, we had the letter Ba and Ta before. The letter Ta and Ba are written the same way, except Ta has two dots above it and Ba has one dot below it. That's the letter Ta.
Even though it's two dots on the bottom, it's on the bottom of this page.
On the bottom? No, that's the first word. You said the third word. The first word, two dots on the bottom, is the letter Ya.
Yeah, that's what's throwing me off.
Okay, remember, in the last session, last week, we had two lessons. The elongation of Kesra with the Ya, and the elongation of Dhamma with Wow. When we took the first lesson, elongation of Kesra with Ya, we said that when Ya is written in the beginning and in the middle, it looks like Ba and Ta, except that it has two dots underneath. Okay, so the same way that Ba and Ta look, they look the same as that. Except what? Ta has two dots on top, and Ya has two dots underneath. Alright? That's the letter Ya. Yani the letter that looks like Ta, but instead of having two dots above it, has two dots below it, is the letter Ya. Ya has two dots. Yani in its beginning form and in its middle form, it looks the same as Ba and Ta and Tha, except it has two dots underneath. Okay, in its independent form and final form, it looks different. But in the beginning and middle form, it looks the same as Ba and Ta and Tha. All right. You probably missed it. You probably missed it. Okay, but we're going to see it in this lesson a few times. Okay, and we're going to see it in future lessons. Inshallah, let's try to pay attention to the letter Ya, two dots underneath. It looks like Ba and Ta. Okay, so where are we at now? We're on line
49.
We're on page 30. We're on page 30, line 5. Line 5. Page 30, line 5. Okay, the first word has Hamza with Dhamma followed by Ba with Sukoon. One syllable. Pronounce it. Ub. Ub. Okay, ub. Like ab, but ab has fatha. And this has dhamma. Ub. Ab, ub. Next word has short vowel, long vowel, short vowel. Line 5, second word, short vowel, long vowel, short vowel. Read it.
Abu.
Abu hu. Abu hu. That's the word abu, right?
No.
With who? Who means his? And his father. Abu Hu. Naam. Third word. Line 5. Okay, pay attention to this word here. It's meem with fatha, lam with fatha, and then aleph as a seat for hamza with sukoon. I think I wrote the fatha in mine. It's not in your book, right? I wrote it in, okay? Okay, note here, line 5, third word. It should be meem with fatha, and then lam with fatha, but the lam doesn't have a fatha written here. So you can write in the fatha. The lam has fatha. And then the next letter is aleph as a seat for hamza. Aleph as a seat for hamza. Forget about the aleph. We're dealing with what? Hamza with sukoon. Okay, I want one person to read this word for me. I want one person to read this word for me. Please don't jump off the bus. Don't jump off the third floor or the fourth floor or the fifth floor. Second floor you might make it. Be careful, huh? Second floor you might make it, but it still could be dangerous. Okay, you were the first one to raise your hand. Hassan, right? Hassan. Naam, ya Hassan. Welcome Hassan. Welcome him, brothers. Hassan is with us today. Yeah, Hassan. We're happy to have you with us, brother, today. Go ahead, read that word for us. Okay, that's a good attempt. But he's reading it as a long vowel. Ma. Okay, it's not a long vowel. It's meem with fatha. Lam with fatha. That's two short vowels. And aleph as the seat for hamza with tanween. Okay, Abdul Wali, you want to give it a shot? Or Abdul Sabur, who wants to give it a shot? Okay, wait a minute. We have a young man here. Let's list this young man here. Today, right?
Yeah.
Let's let him give a shot at it. We'll see if the young people can outdo the old folks. Huh? It's close. That's close. That's close, almost. But listen, there's no long vowel here, okay? Let me give you a hint. There's no long vowel here. It's three syllables. And all of them are short. Okay, listen. Meem with fatha. Lam with fatha. That's two short vowels. And then aleph is not elongating anything. Aleph is a seat for hamza. It doesn't count. We read the hamza with tanween. Okay, let's get the old folks back in here again now. Now. Ma. La-un. Ma. La-un. Okay, the old folks beat us out today. I say beat y'all out, because I'm with the old folks. I'm with the winning team. Ma, la, un. If the young people win, I'm going to be with the young team. Okay? Let's just get it straight right here. I'm with the winners, not with the losers. Ma, la, un. Okay? Now.
This word, I put
put a fatha, not on top of the aleph, put a fatha on top of the lamb. Put a fatha on top of the lamb. It's meem, lamb, fatha, aleph as a seat for hamza with tanween. Now. Huh? No, it's not a mistake. They just didn't write the fatha. The fatha is not written there. No, I mean it should be written in the learning text. It should be written, okay? It should be written. But it's not written, okay? Okay, brothers. There are a lot of people here, right? It's kind of crowded in here. And if everybody's talking a little bit, it's too much. If everybody's talking a little bit, it's too much. Let me hear his question, please.
Whenever we see the lamb, the aleph, this way, as we see it right now, can we pronounce it separately, like the lamb separately, the aleph, the hamza?
No, every case is going to be different. We're going to pronounce it according to what kind of vowel. If it has a vowel, if it has sukoon, it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same every time. Every time you see lamb aleph, it's not always going to be the same. Sometimes lamb aleph, maybe the lamb has fatha and aleph is elongating it. Another time lamb aleph, lamb has fatha, and the aleph has a hamza. It's a seed for hamza. It's not going to be elongated. It's going to be different. We have to pay attention. If the lamb aleph, we have to look at the vowels on the lamb and the vowels on the aleph. Okay, read it according to whatever vowels it has. If the aleph has a hamza, then aleph doesn't count. It's not elongation. It's just a seat for the hamza. We don't read it. We just read the hamza with its vowel. In this case, its vowel is tanween. Ma, la, un.
If the aleph has
a
hamza and a vowel
double,
then there's a separate.
If aleph has a hamza and a vowel on top of it, that's one syllable by itself with whatever vowel it has. Okay? That's one syllable by itself. Hamza is a consonant. If it has a vowel, it's like any other consonant. It's a syllable by itself. Okay, it's a separate syllable. unless the letter following it has sukoon. That means what? The letter with sukoon is joined to what's before it. Or the letter following it has shadda. Shadda means a letter with sukoon. You're going to join it to the letter before it. Okay, every case, every word we're going to look at separately, according to what is written with it. What vowel it has, if it has no vowel, if it has, and if it's a seat for Hamza, for example, if it has a shadda, we have to follow the rules. Okay, so that's why I always encourage you to please review the lessons that we had before. So that those rules stick in your mind, they become engraved in your mind. Until if you keep reading these lessons over and over again, the rule will automatically kick in. When you see a shadda, the rule will automatically kick in because you got used to it. You got used to it. You know, it's like a boxer, if anybody knows anything about boxing. And if they train to do a certain thing, a jab, a hook, or whatever, yani, bobbing and weaving and stuff like that, they keep doing it over and over and over and over again until when something happens, it's automatic instinct. They don't have to think what to do next. They automatically know what to do. Okay, it comes from, yani, persistence, consistent. Yani, constantly doing something over, over and over and over again until it becomes automatic. You don't have to really think about it. Yani, when you keep reading these words over and over again, the sukoon will automatically kick in your head. When you see sukoon, you join the letter before it. When you see shadda, you know you have to double it. When you see aleph as a seat for hamza, you automatically know, forget about the aleph. It doesn't count. I'm not reading that. Okay? But it comes with practice. The more you practice, I mean, everybody's different, right? Some people have to practice more than others. And if you're a little bit older, and if you're in like your 30s and 40s or 50s, 60s, you got to practice a lot. Okay, the old folks got to practice more. Young people, they might read it once or twice and they got it. As you get a little bit older, when you reach 40, 50, anybody here 40? Don't raise your hand. 50, 60, you got to practice more. We have to practice a little bit more. I read these lessons over and over again. I just practice because when you get old, and it doesn't work the same anymore. The brain gets a little tired. And it's just not as strong as it used to be. The memory gets weak. And that's normal for old people. That's what happens with most old people. Right? It's okay. It's all right. Old people lose something, but they get something else. And usually they get wisdom. Huh? Life experience. So actually, even though their brain might move a little bit slower, but they know how to do things because they've been doing it for a long time. The young person, he don't know what to do. Like, I didn't never experience that before. So if you lose something in your memory, you get something else that Allah will give you that will help you, inshallah. So it's okay. Yani, young people are good, old people are good. As long as you're part of Islam, you're going to be okay. Let's read, let's read, let's read. Okay, we're on line 5. We just read the third word, mala'un. Okay, the last word is like that. It's like that. Kaf, fatha, lam, with fatha. The lam has a fatha. And then the aleph is a seat for Hamza with tanween. Okay, 3 syllables, 2 short vowels, and then tanween. Okay, let's read it together. Ka-la-un. 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 Line 6. Line 6. Well, let's read line 5 together. Line 5. Let's read line 5 together. Page 30, lesson 14, line 5. First word. Ub. Second word. Abuhu. Third word. Mala'un. Mala'un. Last word. Kala'un. Line 6. 2 syllables. There's a sukoon there. The noon is joined to the hamza with fatha. 2 syllables. First word. Anta. Second word. Anti. Third word. Antum. That seems to be pretty easy. Okay, let's read it again. Line 6. First word. Anta. Second word.
Anti.
Anti. Third word.
Antum.
Antum. Okay, line 7. 3 syllables. Short vowel, short vowel, tanween. Notice that the last syllable is Hamza with tanween. Forget about the aleph. It's just a seat. We're not going to read aleph here. Okay, the aleph is not elongating the ba with fatha. It's not elongating the ba with fatha. The aleph is only a seat for Hamza. 3 syllables. Short vowel, tanween. Read it. Na-ba-un. 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 Next word, 1 syllable. Hamza with kesra. elongated by ya. Read it.
Yeah.
E, as in iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Huh? Allahu a'lam. Yani in the surah it's one word. Yani iyya with ka means you alone. Line 7, third word, hamza with kasra followed by ya with sukoon. There's no sukoon written there, but it doesn't have a vowel, so it's sukoon, right? So that's one syllable, hamza with kasra followed by ya as elongation, then meem with fatha followed by alif as elongation, that's the second syllable, and then noon with tanween, three syllables. Two long vowels, long, long, and then tanween. Read the third word.
Imanun.
Naam. Imanun. Imanun. That's like al-iman, right? What we believe in. Iman. We have iman, faith. Okay, last word. Hamza with kasra, followed by ya with sukoon. That's elongation. One syllable. The next one, lam, fatha, alif. The lam here has fatha. The fatha is looks like it's written on top of the aleph. But you should read it as though the fatha is written on top of the lam being elongated by aleph. Alright? So there's two long vowels and then tanween. Read the last word, line 7.
E-la-mun.
E-la-mun. Okay, the fatha in this word should be written directly above the lam. It looks like it's written on the aleph. Okay, now.
The third word you said is imanun.
Imanun.
So it's like imanun.
Iman, yani faith. Iman.
Wouldn't it have to have the shatun for the noon to take off the...
No, it doesn't have shadda. It's just noon with tanween. Noon. Yani imanun.
Okay, so we're not saying imanun.
Imanun. Now, okay, let's go to the last line on page 31. Last line. Line number 8, page 31, lesson 14. The first word is one syllable, it's dhamma, hamza with dhamma, elongated by waw. First word?
Ooh.
Second word, the same thing, hamza with dhamma, elongated by waw, and then two short syllables, meem with kasra, noon with dhamma. Long, short, short. Naam, read it. O-minu. 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 And the last one, long vowel, short vowel, short vowel. Last word. O-li-mu. 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 Okay, let's read line 8. First word. Ooh. Second word? Oominu. Last word? Oolimu. Okay, actually we're running out of time. Anyway, let's try to read some of the next lesson, lesson 15. Let's try to read some of this lesson. On page 32, lesson 15, it says new element. It's just the long A sound. Hamza with fatha when it's followed by aleph. Hamza with fatha followed by aleph. It is hamza plus the long vowel A. Yani what we're looking at here is the aleph with a line, a wiggly line written above it. Aleph with this line written above it. That line means that it's actually a hamza with fatha. Whatever hamza with fatha is elongated by aleph, instead of writing two alephs, one as a seat for hamza and one as elongation of the fatha, instead of writing two alephs, then we just write one aleph and put this line over it. It's like shorthand for writing hamza with fatha elongated by aleph. Okay, the first aleph is a seat for hamza. So we're not reading the first aleph, we're reading the hamza with its vowel a being elongated by aleph, a. Instead of writing two alephs, one as a seat for hamza and one as elongation of the fatha, we're going to write one aleph and put this line above it. That means that we're pronouncing the letter hamza, the consonant hamza with a fatha, a. Then that fatha is elongated by an aleph, so it became a. So whenever you see that aleph with that line above it, it just means that that is a hamza with fatha. Not with kasra, not with dhamma. Hamza with fatha, elongated by aleph. Ah. Is it clear? It's clear? Okay. Okay, that being said, let's just look at the first line. We're on page 32, lesson 15, line 1. Okay, notice that the aleph has that line written above it. That means that's a hamza with fatha elongated by aleph. Okay? Long vowel, short vowel. First word. Ana. That's easy, right? Second word. Ala. That's easy. Third word. Amana. Mashallah. Fourth word. Akulu. Okay, be careful on the last word. Meme with fatha. That aleph with the wiggly line above it means that that's a hamza. Hamza is a glottal stop. Hamza is a glottal stop. So when you pronounce the hamza, you have to have a break. And then you have fatha elongated by aleph. Fatha elongated by aleph. Hamza, fatha elongated by aleph. Hamza is a glottal stop. You can't make the word just flow. Man. No, it has to have a break in it. Okay, who wants to read that word for me? Who wants to read that word for me? Naam. Khatib. Naam. Again? You heard what he said? Ma? Alun. Okay, not ma'alun. Ma'alun. There's a break. Ma'alun. Okay? Ma'alun. Okay, let's read the first line together. Everybody, first word. Ana. Second word. Ala. Third word. Amana. Fourth word. Akulu. Last word. Ma'alun. Ma'alun. Okay, line 2. Long vowel, short vowel. First word. Ahi. Second word. Aba. Third word, long vowel, sukoon. Ameen. Naam. Long vowel, sukoon. Ameen. Okay, fourth word, line 2. Long vowel, tanween. Again. Amalun. 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 Okay, last word, line 2. Alun. Alun. Okay, let's read line 2 one more time together. First word. Ahi. Second word. Aba. Third word. Amin. Fourth word. Amalun. Last word. Alun. Okay, line 3. This is the last line. We're going to stop here. The first word is a long vowel and then another long vowel. Read the first word. Alu. Alu. Second word is a long vowel, short vowel, and then tanween. Long vowel, short vowel, tanween. Second word. Anukun. 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 Third word is long vowel, long vowel, long vowel. Three long vowels, they all of equal length. Three long vowels of equal length. Now, third word. Atuni. Atuni. Fourth word is a long vowel, short vowel followed by shadda. Remember, shadda means join that letter to the syllable before. So, how many syllables is this word going to have? Three syllables. Who said three? Mashallah. It's going to have how many? Three. Three. Now, the first word is a long vowel. The second one is a short vowel followed by shadda, which means sukoon. And then the third syllable, the noon with fatha elongated by aleph. Three syllables. Okay, fourth word, line 3. Amenna. Amenna. Amenna means we all believed. in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amanna billahi. We did, past tense, we did believe. And we have believed. Naam. Yeah, it's a past tense verb. No, it's the same meaning, exactly. But somebody might misunderstand that. Because past tense, yani, could sometimes mean something that you did and you finished. We have believed?
English is past tense.
So, is anybody here a real actual expert in English language? No, I'm saying, is anybody... No, I'm just saying, I'm serious, really. Like, is somebody... Because... And English is really a twisted language, so it might be that somebody who really knows the rules, then they will say, no, you can't say this or you can't say that. Are you an English teacher? Yeah, Mustafa. Are you an English teacher? Oh, you're not. But you know this one, though. Okay, we'll accept it, no problem. I'll accept it, no problem. I don't have any problem with that. I just want to be sure, and if somebody is like really an expert, then maybe they can tell us, yeah, what's the rule or something. Now, you an English expert?
No, but when
you're
looking at English, it's the same rule in Arabic. Context matters.
Okay.
Context matters. So you can't say we have belief.
Okay, in any case, I don't have a problem with it. What's important is, yani, the reading of the word right now. How do we read it? Amenna. Amenna. Okay, last word, line 3, page 32, lesson 15. Last word. Long vowel, short vowel. Ati. Ati. Okay, line 3, let's read it all together and then we close here. First word. Alu. Second word. Anukun. Third word. Atuni. Atuni. Fourth word. Amenna. Last word?
Ati.
Okay, brothers and sisters, barakallahu fikum, jazakum Allah khair. I just want to encourage you to please practice as much as possible. MashaAllah, honestly, I can say in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're doing well. MashaAllah. What I see, MashaAllah, you're doing well. If you're doing this for the first time, or you didn't do it in a long time and you forgot it, this is excellent. Mumtaz, MashaAllah. If I were giving grades, mashallah, you would all be getting mumtaz. You would all be getting mumtaz. Don't forget, brothers and sisters, don't forget, inshallah, tomorrow is Yawm al-Ashura. Tomorrow is Yawm al-Ashura. Yani Monday, tomorrow is Yawm al-Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encouraged us to fast on this day as a voluntary act of worship. It has a tremendous reward. And he also said that if he had lived to the next year, he would have fasted the day before, which would have been today. If anybody didn't eat anything today, then you can still make intention to fast. And if you didn't, at least fast tomorrow. And there's indeed, this is something that is commendable, praiseworthy, and beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tomorrow is Yawm al-Ashura. And the Yahud, they used to fast on this day. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him why. And when they told him why, he said, we have more right to Musa than you. And he told the companions to fast. So inshallah, tomorrow, Yawm al-Ashura, please try to fast that day if you are able to fast. Barakallahu fikum naam. Ashura? Yani from Ashura, 10, mean the 10th. Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. What's the meaning? Yani it's in, as shukra. Yani shukra, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving Musa alayhi salam and his people from Fir'aun. For saving Musa and his people from Fir'aun. So the Yahud, they used to fast that day in gratitude to Allah for Allah having saved Musa and his people. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have more right to Musa than you. You people are not even following Musa. We have more right to Musa than you. So he ordered his companions to fast. The time is upon us. It's almost time for the Iqamah. Inshallah, we can have a discussion later, inshallah. We're way over time right now. We should have stopped 10 minutes ago. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadan la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.